this Eagles team, it's like a heartache. And the reason why I say this is because we're going off of a team that went to the Super Bowl, made it to the Super Bowl. Jalen brought us there. We paid him all this money. If we go back to that Super Bowl, yes, we played against Patrick Mahomes. Yes, we should have won. But you can't live off of shoulda, woulda, couldas. We was up in that game. So now it's like we're trying to live up to that hype. They're like the in-between. Like, they're great players, but they haven't learned how to win great. You can't be up 2-3 touchdowns and you letting teams come back and win and you throwing all that. That's not good football. So right now we're a mediocre team with great players.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly, in for Joe Giglio. That was DeSean Jackson. What'd you make of that, Hugh? DeSean saying the Eagles right now are essentially a team with great talent, but a mediocre football team. What do you make of that?
That says a lot, man, because when you say a team with great talent, that makes me think about the year that I got here to Philadelphia. We had Troy, Bobby, Hollis, Brian Dawkins. And those guys, but we weren't winning. I think we were like 3-13.
Mm-hmm.
And when Andy Reid got here, that's when things started to turn around. So to me, it sounds like he's talking about coaching.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me as well. And you know, I don't know if the team is as talented as DeSean thinks it is. I think offensively they are. Defensively, I'm not sure. But Hugh, when you look at this game coming up on Sunday. And I think I know where you're going to go with this, but do you put this one more on the offense or do you put more
definitely
on the
defense? Definitely put it on offense, man. I mean, going into this season, I'm not going to even talk about this season. When we went into free agency, we paid our receivers. We already know the quarterback got money. We went out and we got a running back. We allocated all of our resources except for Bryce Huff on one side of football. We went and got some young guys. You know, and people say, well, you know, they went and got some young guys on the offensive on the defensive side. But I think you're asking a lot for rookies to come in and contribute almost immediately. I mean, it happens. You know, you talk about a guy like Sauce Gardner who played last night, but you're still asking a lot from your rookies. So the offense had to lead the way, in my opinion. And right now, they haven't lived up to Billy. And obviously that's because AJ got hurt. But I think that when you talk about this team, and what I've said before is that in order for us to be successful early on, the offense has to be the front runner. And they were the first game, 34 points. Second game, because of AJ. But you have to be creative in the way that you run that offense and protect your defense as much as you possibly can.
I get it, and I think it's a fair point. I just look at it with A.J. Brown out. I think this game is more on the defense, Hugh. I mean,
defense for what? I mean,
I think they need to force
what?
They need to force negative plays. They need to make some plays that to help the offense out and put them in positions where they can take advantage of short fields. I mean, the offense, they have had very few opportunities this year. I mean, one turnover in two games. Defense has got to force some negative plays here.
Now. This is how I look at it. And I know if Joe was here, one of the first things he would say out of his mouth was, well, how many times you want Saquon to run the ball? You want him to run 30 times? Yes.
Is that your Joe impression?
Well, yeah.
Sounded a little whiny, honestly. Yeah.
It was a little.
Man,
but no,
that was a little
because,
disrespectful. With all due respect.
No, it wasn't being disrespectful. It was just that at this point, he would probably be thoroughly irritated with me saying that this offense has to do more. So it's more of a high-pitched, he's about to blow his top type
right.
talk.
Well, then,
yeah, there you go.
This is how I view it, Hugh. I just don't think, without A.J. Brown, I don't think the Eagles can win a shootout. I don't. And I think we need to readjust maybe our expectations of Jalen when A.J.'s not in, because we've seen very few games where A.J. Brown has not played. When A.J. Brown's out of the lineup, the explosiveness of this offense goes away. They got to work it down the field, you know, slowly.
I think that going into this, like, and when I say be creative, I don't mean hand the ball to Saquon Barkley 50 times, but be creative. We got a running back that we were really happy about in the preseason, and we've seen a lot of these young running backs come in and play well. Can't think of the young running back's name for the Jets that played last night.
Braylon Allen.
He's a good
player.
Back there with Breece Hall. Like, they have two backs. Like, use the resources that you have. Hell, if I know that I'm having trouble getting the ball out. Now, listen to me, y'all. I'm about to say something. I'm going to probably trigger a lot of y'all, but I'm dead serious when I say it. Put Saquon out at one of the receivers. Put him in the slot. Let him catch the ball. I'm not going to
he'll catch the ball.
I'm not going to hold one drop against Saquon Barkley and keep him out of the offense. Hell, be creative like that. Like, what's to say that Saquon Barkley has to always line up in the backfield?
I agree with you, and I do think they need to get him the ball more. I just look at it and think without AJ, the defense needs to do something extra. Like, they need to do a little something more to create pressure, create negative plays. I just think the defense needs to come up big on Sunday and give the offense some short fields.
You know what the defense needs to do for me? You know what the defense needs to do?
Stop the run.
That's it. That's all I'm at. Like, I'm not asking you to do a whole lot. That just stop the run. Like, if I was going into this gameplay, you know what I'm going to say? Hey, stop the run. That's it. Stop the run. Baby steps.
I'm being greedy. I want a couple sacks. I want to turn
see,
over.
This is the problem.
Come on.
You're asking for way too much.
For a sack? For a sack from a defensive end?
Listen,
oh, my God.
You're asking for way too much. Lower your expectations.
Kyle, what do you think? More on the offense or the defense?
Why the hell would it be on the defense? You watched this defense over the last year?
They need to make some plays. They can't win a shootout without A.J. Brown.
Of course they do. But, like, I think everybody knew going into the season that the way that the Eagles are going to have to win games was going to be on the back of their offense. I get A.J. Brown's out. But we also pay a quarterback $250 million to be a guy that can overcome the loss of one receiver on the offense. I mean, we still have Devontae Smith. We still have Dallas Goedert. We did also pay a running back $12 million. It's not even anywhere close. Forget about the defense, okay? Because I think the Eagles forgot about the defense this offseason.
Defense is not a luxury. It is a necessity.
Yes, and we don't have that, okay? We do not have
a
necessity. We don't have a luxury. We don't have a defense. We do have an offense. I get without AJ Brown. We don't. Where were they? But we do have a quarterback that is paid to overcome the loss of a guy like AJ Brown. This game is not only on the offense, it's squarely on the shoulders of Jalen Hurts.
Do you guys think, though, honestly, that Jalen can win a shootout without AJ Brown?
Yes.
Do you?
That's why we paid him. Yeah. He got paid like he can, and he has to. And when I say shootout, I don't believe that they can go toe-to-toe with us in a shootout. I don't believe that. It's a small sampling size. But it's clear that this team's bread and butter is the run game. Mm-hmm. That's why I want to go into this game and stop the run. I wholeheartedly believe, that if you allow this young Carr man to throw, was it David Carr? Because I get him mixed up.
Derek Carr.
David and Derek. I get him mixed up. I was afraid to do that because I knew I was going to screw
up.
You blew it anyway.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I kind of stay away from it.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
But my point is this. If you put him in a situation where he has to throw the ball at least 20 to 30 times a game, then that could potentially be a problem.
Yeah. And that, well, hopefully we can at least
that
stop
could
the
be
run
a problem.
Then. Take baby steps. I'm just getting a little greedy. Let's go to Michelle in Haverford. What's up, Michelle?
Hey, guys. So it's a lot of back and forth, Everybody has opinions. I do think they're going to win this week. If they don't win, though, I think they need to get rid of Sirianni. I mean, I heard him speak this week with you guys, and I got to tell you, I think Jalen did a great thing, but he should also speak. It comes from the leadership. You could have great players, you know, great skill, but it falls from the top. I mean, his leadership skills are awful, Sirianni, and he should have spoke to the team. And he was kind of like fake, and I really think that Lori and Harry Roseman, whatever, they need to take a look at Middleton. He knows how to run a tight ship. He knows how to pick the good coaches. He knows how to have team players when there's issues. You know, the public doesn't hear about it. I just think, you know, we really have to evaluate it. I think we got to be supportive of this team. They are going to win. I think Jalen's doing a great job. I feel bad AJ's not going to be in this week, but, hey, they can still do it. They can still do it. They have the skill. But we have to think about this leadership and stop talking about the players. We really need to gung-ho on these leadership people.
Well, I hear you, Michelle, and appreciate the call. And, Hugh, we talked about it a little bit yesterday.
So, wait a minute. She's saying if he loses this game, he needs to be fired?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Now, if he loses
that's a little premature.
If he loses next week, 1-3 going into the bye.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough conversation.
You know, if it looks bad the next 2 weeks, Hugh, I think it could be in play. I mean, it's certainly something that people are going to be asking for. I mean, whether Jeffrey would do it or not, I don't know, but that conversation is going to be out there.
I think it all depends on what direction this team looks like is going in. Because, like I said, I don't believe that David Carr is that guy.
Derek Carr.
Sorry. I keep saying. Yeah. No, give me. Because I get them mixed up. I really do. Derek Carr is that guy. They don't want to throw. Like, you play Carolina and the Cowboys. Play Carolina in week 1. They just benched their quarterback. I don't think that you should read too much into that game. I really don't. So I just feel like they got a chance this weekend.
Yeah, and you got to find a way to get off the field, get negative plays in offense. Probably going to need to score at least 27, 28 points if you're going to have a shot to win this one. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, getting you ready for Eagles Saints Sunday afternoon. Football Sunday. Jets win last night. That game was kind of a stinker last night. 24-3. Patriots, they're pretty bad, Hugh.
Yeah, and they look pretty good at the beginning of the season.
Yep, that's
so
true.
So it's like people are like, hey, the Patriots might be for real. Okay.
Jets get rolled week one.
Yeah.
Now they're.
And that's why you can't overreact too much.
I will say, though, and it has been surprising to me how good he's looked. Aaron Rodgers looks like Aaron Rodgers. Like,
yeah. He's bounced back.
I didn't think he'd be able to come back looking like this after the Achilles, but he's moving around well. His accuracy is pinpoint. And if he plays like that, and say they get Hassan Reddick back, I mean, that could be a Super Bowl team.
And they got blew out the first week of the season, 32-19.
They did?
By the 49ers.
Yep.
And now the 49ers, I'm just trying to give people perspective here.
You're raising people up today, Hugh.
No, I'm just saying, and it's like, The 49ers are 1-1, so it's one of those things where, you know, they lost to the Vikings. The Vikings look like they might be world beaters. You know, everybody, the Minnesota Vikings, they look like they're going to be a pretty good team. They're 2-0. Minnesota Vikings play the Giants and the 49ers.
Yep.
But now all of
a
sudden.
The Niners are a good team.
The Niners are a good team. That's a good win. I'm not putting that in there. But the fact that they beat the Giants the first game of the season – it's you still don't know what this team is.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean? You got the Texans this weekend, so we'll see what they're about. And, you know, the Packers. So coming up in the week after that, so we'll see.
It's going to be a fun week coming up, and we got Guess the Takes later in the show. We got some spicy ones, so we'll get to that later on. What are we going to be talking about on Monday? First, let's go back to the phones, though. Nick Sirianni, remember, coming up in about 5 minutes here. We will bring you that live right here on WIP. Let's go back to the phones, though. TR, what's up, TR? Yo, TR.
Oh, sorry. Let me get you on speaker. I'm sorry. 1 second.
All right, come on.
Sound like you dropped.
There we go, TR. Jeez.
My bad.
It's loud.
My bad. Yeah, I'm in my truck, man, driving. Listen, man, all that talking about how AJ this, AJ, nothing because of AJ, in my opinion, man. It's what happened to the next man up? You know, it's our coaching.
Well, the next man up is Britton Covey, TR.
Britton Covey was the next man up, dog.
There's a big drop off there.
Okay, that's fine, too. But we still got Goddard. We have our new running back. We have all these guys, man. We can't just say because we don't have one player that the whole team should implode, man. I don't think that's good. Like, that's nah.
He might be the best player on the team, though, TR.
I know he's the best player, man, but all of us supposed to be good, too. I mean, yeah. I mean, our team is fine. This thing is a learning experience. This one game, Barkley is going to make sure when they run that play again, he catches before he starts to run. You know what I mean? I think Hurts is going to not throw the ball across his body when he's in trouble. I think just learning the experience. I'm not really worried about this one game. I'm glad it's out the way, this one loss. I think we're going to pull things together. And I think just the coaching, not using our pieces like they should. You know, we have God, we got all these good players, man. We're not using them, man. That's all. I don't think AJ is the wins everything. Real quick, Hugh, I don't know if I mentioned this, but number 72 for USC is my nephew. His name is Elijah Page.
Okay.
He's a red shirt freshman. He's 6'8", 325, 18 years old. Check him out, number 72 for USC. Please try to get him an Eagle. If you know anybody, get him on the Eagles, man. He's killing it. He was killing it over the Pinnacle up in Phoenix in high school. Shut down a number one defensive player in up in Arizona. Whole 9 yards, man. So, Yeah, but back to our team, we're fine, man. It was just a learning experience for us, man. I think everything will be great, man. I'm not sweating this, that one loss.
All right, like the confidence, TR. Appreciate the call. TR's confident in him.
I mean, and TR, I got to tell you, I don't know anybody that can. He has to actually go through the draft.
Yeah.
You know, in a couple years. So if he's ready, you know, hopefully that'll be the case. But it's a process. It's a whole process that they've kind of been doing for a long ass time.
Yeah, it's not like you just snap your fingers and
hey, you're in the third round. Yeah, can't do that.
Good luck to him in his USC career.
Yeah, good luck.
For sure.
Big dude.
Let's go to Donald in Chester. What's up, Donald?
Hey, fellas. How y'all been?
What's going on, man? How you been?
Oh, man, I'm chilling, but it's just that Hugh. Wait a minute. First of all, I got one thing I've been laughing at ever since. Did that guy compare Jalen Hurts to Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, that
Mitchell
was way
Trubisky
overboard.
Name came up. Yeah, his name came up.
Oh, man. I've been laughing about that the whole time. I couldn't believe he even said that.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, that's one. Even if you say all due respect, that's not gonna work.
I mean, now, Hugh, bro, I want to believe you. You know what I'm saying, and what you're saying about Sunday, and I want to get on that. But man, that Shaheed, you know, and that track star over there, him, you know, so we're loading up that box, bro. I've already talked it up as a loss for us, man. Because honestly, up front, I just think it's unfair for Fangio. I think that Jalen Carter and probably Milton Williams are the only two out there that I got faith and confidence in. Everybody else, I'm with Seth, and that's hard. And that was a hard truth that he said about he just doesn't think that they can rush the passer. You know, and I just see it like that. And I'll make this one point before Sirianni comes in. I'm with the caller that just called. I just don't believe that Kellen Moore came into the season looking to get everybody involved. I know Dotson just got here, but there has to be a way to get all these guys involved. So just in case one person goes down, you know, it can still kind of keep on rolling. You know, so.
No, Donald, it's fair, and appreciate the call. And Hugh, I want to ask you something about Dotson, because we bring that up a lot. That's been brought up a lot this week, is Britton Covey's getting all these catches. Where's Jahan Dotson? Why isn't he involved? Is there a chance Jahan Dotson might just not be that good? I mean, the Commanders traded him for a reason.
I think that part of the issue is, for some people, is that they're saying that, you know, he has to get up to speed. He hasn't been here that long. I believe that if you want a player to play, you have to do as much as you possibly can to get him stuff that he's comfortable with to get him out there on the field. Now, he was out there Monday. He's on the field. You mean to tell me you can't design plays for him? You can't say, okay, on this play, this one, and as simple as this, hey, we're throwing the ball to you on this play. This is what we want. This is the route we want you to run. That's simple. Just to see what he could do, get him comfortable, give him an opportunity. That's not that hard. That's not rocket science. Or, like I said, you don't always have to line Saquon up in the backfield. Now, I understand that on certain plays and certain things when it comes to rookies, it's a learning process, it's a learning curve, and there's not a lot that, you know, they probably not retaining all the offense. But like I said, give him a couple plays. Give him a couple plays. Give Shipley a couple plays. Let him just sit back there. I'm not saying hand him the football. Hell, he's a body on the field. Line him up in the backfield and put Saquon in his slot. Give him different looks. And I understand we're only in week three of the season, and that might be potentially on the plate. But you have to do stuff, I feel, to help your defense out as much as you possibly can. These guys stink up front right now.
Well, and
I do not like to use words like that when I describe defense or professional players. But right now they're not figuring it out. They don't have a clue yet.
Yeah, it's honest. And you know, it's going to be really concerning if they can't find a way to get Dotson involved this week. Because you traded a third-round pick for this guy. I mean, that is not nothing. That is a significant asset in the NFL. And if we're sitting here on Monday talking about Britton Covey has 5-6 more catches, and Jahan Dotson has like 2 targets.
That's going to be weird. That's going to be weird.
That's going to be a big problem. Find a way to get those guys involved, and I mean, this should be the opportunity for him. I mean, the reason you traded for Jahan Dotson, more than being number 3, was this is his going to be his spot if AJ or Devontae go down. You know, he's got to step up and perform and be a part of the offense this week. Let's go to Rich in the Poconos. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Let me get your speaker here. Hey, you, I got a quick story for you, really. You might appreciate it. I work up at ESU, East Stroudsburg. I do the chain gangs for the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lineman from last year.
Hang on, Rich. We'll get back to you. Nick Sirianni is taking the podium.
This is a really good offense for Derek Carr. You see that same way as a offensive guy?
Yeah, this is they've been explosive. They got good playmakers. Derek's playing really good. And again, a lot of respect for this offense and what they've done and, you know, these last 2 weeks. And so it's definitely going to be a challenge.
What happened, CJ?
Yeah, you know, he tweaked something yesterday. I won't get into the specifics, obviously, but, you know, we'll see how today goes.
Is there still a chance AJ plays on Sunday?
Yeah, well, again, we got some time. We'll see how today goes. We'll see how the rest of the, you know, we got today. We got a little bit of tomorrow before, and obviously Sunday before we can have to make that decision. And I know he's working. I know both guys are working their butts off to try to get back.
If CJ does play, he's an emotional player, obviously. This is, I imagine, an emotional situation for him going back there. What's the message to him?
Yeah, I love, my message always has been to him is I love his emotion. I love his energy. You know, and always use that. He's got such an awesome personality that always use that personality to bring people together. And so, you know, be yourself, have fun out there, show your emotion, like, you know, I would be crazy to tell him not to show his emotion because I show my emotion. But show your emotion, do everything within the rules of the game, and you know, because people feed off that. And so, again, love his energy and just his personality.
How have the players responded this week?
Yeah, I thought we've had a good week of practice. Obviously, we're not done yet. Yeah, big one today to go out there and have a good practice today. We had a good meetings this morning. We'll have a good walkthrough. But they've been great. Just ready to get back at it and go. And because we know that at the end of the day, all we can control is our habits, and our habits are what's going to produce our results. So our habits have to be the exact same that they've been. And you know, any process that we have that hasn't been what we think is up to the standard, that's got to even raise too. So the guys have been great. We've had a good week of work.
Was there any curiosity to see how the team would respond to this early adversity? And if so, what did you learn about that?
Yeah, it wasn't like jumping on to getting a loss to figure out. But the curiosity was, you know, I think that happens in camp, right? You have good days in camp, you have bad days in camp. And so it was kind of like answered in that portion of it. So I think, again, we treat so many things, we treat everything like, you know, it's game. When we go out and practice, it's like game-like, right? And so those things are, you know, answered in the preseason. But naturally, right, the consequences of losing a regular season game. So, you know, it may be a little bit, but I think, again, like I said, guys have really responded well. You know, we're 1-1 and we're ready to go out there and play a good football team and get back out there on the field on Sunday. But we got to, you know, have a good practice today.
What are you seeing from Cooper DeJean as far as his readiness to step in if he's needed?
Yeah, he continues to impress as he's out there as far as, you know, starting with his special teams abilities. He made a really good play in special teams. You guys weren't out there still, but made a really good play in special teams yesterday in practice that was showed in front of the team today. You know, he's really had some good reps with the defense. He gets reps with the defense, and he also gets reps on scout team. And so he's just, you know, I think he's been stringing together practice after practice after practice, and our confidence is continuing to grow in him because we know he's a good football player. And, you know, I know he wants to be out there on the field and contributing to this team.
Nick, the decision to let Jalen address the team after the loss on Monday night, is that something you thought about
in the offseason as like a...
No, I think those things happen organically. And, you know, as Jalen, you know, what happens in those scenarios is, you know, Jalen, you know, while everyone's walking in the locker room, he got emotional himself and was started to talk to everybody. And when he started to talk to everybody, it's like, man, that this is exactly what you want to happen from the leaders on your football team. And really, at the end of it, there wasn't anything for me to say because he said everything I would say. And he said it with great emotion and great care. And so I just said, hey, let's take a knee. And that's something that I talk to these guys every single day, right? We have team meetings every day. We have, you know, I break down practice. Sometimes I just say, hey, that's after a practice too. Sometimes I say nothing and I say, you guys got it. Or sometimes I say something. And so when the leaders on your football team are preaching exactly the same things that you know are your core values and are important to the football team, that's awesome. That's the best thing that can happen. That's the best message that you have. Sometimes you do that in team meetings. Like, you know, if I feel like something that I'm saying is I've said it a million times and I want them to hear it from another person's perspective, that's where you use video clips of, I don't know, say Roger Clemens saying something. I don't know why the first person that's popped in my mind, Roger Clemens talking about the same thing. Or, you know, we talk about connect. We've shown that Phillies video from the 93 Phillies team of those guys connecting and talk. So it's that's just teaching, right? It's not always me talking. It's you find different avenues to do it. And Jalen had an opportunity to do it, and he was awesome. Like, it just showed how good of a leader he was or he is. And I just really appreciated what he said, and the team appreciated what he said, and it started the process of, hey, getting over that loss and going on to the next one.
Vic said yesterday that Zach Bond had never seen chop blocks before. Isn't that something that should have been addressed in practice or camp? Or
yeah, you do that. You do that in camp. You do that in practice. I always talk about O-line, D-line, or full go, right? I always, even though you're not tackling to the ground, O-line, D-line, or full go, but we don't let them cut in practice for obvious reasons. Same thing with a tight end slicing back onto a defensive end. You wouldn't want that collision in practice, but you drill it and you try your best to make sure, just like you do with tackling drills, you know, even though you're not going to the ground, you're drilling it and trying to, you know, practice that. And so Bobby King has practiced that. Our defensive line, that happens to them too, that they continually to practice that. So you just got to find ways to drill it. Now, if it happens in a preseason game, you know, when Zach had some preseason reps, then that'd be, you know, another thing too. But, you know, he's drilled that. And Zach's played defensive end as well. It's different. It's a different block when a tight end's coming back to slice across, or an offensive line on quick game is coming out to cut you. We've drilled that, and we definitely, even sometimes you drill things even more if you don't have a good game doing it. And he knows he got cut a couple times, so they obviously emphasized it even more the last couple days of practice.
That's a challenging place to play down there with the new center and right guard. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, you just try to simulate it as much as you can. Just, again, same thing as like the cut blocks. You try to simulate it, the tackling, you try to simulate it. So it'll be loud out there in practice. Today it's been loud. You know, our ears are ringing with, you know, from the crowd noise yesterday. And sometimes you try to even put it up a little bit loud. Like, we have it up as loud as the speakers go, but to make it louder, sometimes you actually use, instead of music, use the crowd noise, which can become annoying. But that's, you know, that's what we've done. And so communicating and being on the same page and the noise is one of our keys to win this game. And that's really any time you're on the road, but especially in New Orleans. And so those are our key. That's just, again, like a rain game. You put water on the ball. You have periods with water on the ball. You do all those different things. It's the same thing in one of these environments. And we've let it the noise be even louder, like, you know, in a game. it kind of goes like this, right? The noise is loud during the play, then it comes down a little bit, and then back loud. We've tried to keep it loud the whole time, so they're constantly having to communicate within that noise.
We saw you in the locker room the other day, which is atypical for you. I guess what's your approach or philosophy with that? We saw you in the locker room on Wednesday.
I was actually going around to ask a couple guys a question. My approach is usually that's their space. I don't go down there. There's a barbershop in there, though. I'll get a haircut in there. And every once in a while, I might go play a game of ping pong with somebody. But that's their space to be together as a football team. The only time I go in there is if I know they're in there at a certain time, and I gotta ask somebody a question or talk to somebody about something. That's the only reason I was in there the other day.
All right. Thanks, folks.
All right. Well, that was Nick Sirianni. Some interesting things during his press conference there. anything specific that's for? Or no. Just the whole thing there, Kyle.
Just him in general. Like, yeah. He gets a haircut and ping pong. Yeah, I mean,
he's very relatable to me.
Yeah.
Just like a busy heel?
No, because of the fact that, you know, every now and then he speaks in stream of conscience,
yes,
which I do on a day-to-day basis. But I try to keep him short burst. Exactly. And when he talks too long, it's like he gives us a lot of information as a head coach that we don't need.
Yeah, right. He gives us a lot. Like, I feel like the information we want, we don't get.
Yeah, and it kind of tends to rub people the wrong way.
Right. So you got to read between the lines a little bit with Nick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I get it because I have a tendency to do that, and I try to keep it as clear and concise as I possibly can.
It clear and concise.
Yeah, but I do speak in my stream of conscience, though, because I will start one way, and then I will do a hard pivot, and then I'm like, wait a minute, we need to get back on topic. Yeah, yeah. So I get it. Kyle, we got plenty of examples of that. Yeah,
they all crack me up every single time. WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Nick Douglas. There you go. Did Nick Sirianni bring you up a little bit there, Hugh? He didn't bring you down.
He didn't. I'm indifferent when it comes to Coach, because like I said, I relate to Coach. He's relatable.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when he talks, he's speaking his stream of conscience. He's doing a lot, though, man. It's almost like he's trying to justify some of the decisions that he's making to people that aren't really gonna fully understand it, you know, like, because it's like I said, it's been a big deal made about the fact that he didn't break the team down.
Right.
I didn't think that much of it because I understand that there might have been a situation or a scenario where that was warranted. But to a lot of people, after a loss like that and the way that you lost, for him not to say anything to the team is probably the most egregious thing he could have did.
Right.
I don't see it that way.
No, and I kind of see it your way as well. And again, I mean, you would know better being in the locker room. I've been in an NFL locker room, but it's just sometimes the way he answers these questions almost makes it worse. Like, he brings up showing the team videos of Roger Clemens and the 93 Phillies. I didn't really understand where that was coming
from.
Well,
it's like this. Like I said, I understand Coach Sirianni, and I guess now my job is to try to explain to you as best I possibly can
right
what he's saying. He's trying to take you inside the locker room just a little bit in the thought process on a day-to-day basis. But one thing he's failing to realize is that this ain't the week for that. Like, this is the week where we're still processing the loss. We're still questioning some of your moves. I tell you what, man, if the thing that makes this the decision from Monday night a talking point for so many different people is because of everything that happened last year and the way that we got to the point that we're at now. Because it always feels like, whether it's true or not, that Coach Sirianni is trying to justify his existence.
Right.
As the head football coach.
And that's just a bad situation.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I think he's a good coach, but the bottom line is this. Every time that he talks now, it feels like he is justifying him being here. You know, because he talks about him talking to the guys, going in the locker room. He's giving you way more information than you actually need.
Right. And it does feel like that sometimes. And as far as the injuries went, no update on AJ, no update on C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but want to know your takeaways from Nick Sirianni's press conference as well after what we heard a few minutes ago, and we'll have Scott Francie coming up at noon obviously talk about the Phils, but your reaction to Nick Sirianni, his press conference, no updates on CJ or AJ. Let's go back to the phones, go to Rich in the Poconos. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Yeah, so you were telling the story about the team and whatnot?
Yeah, you. I do the chains up at East Stroudsburg University, mm-hmm. Fangio's alma mater. And one of our kids is actually on the practice squad, the DE, over there in Kansas City. So, you know, it's a good chance he's in good hands. But my point is, I'm watching these games. I'm watching these cornerbacks, this secondary, and nobody wants to press coverage. All they want to do is play off. Now, I watch these kids at PSAC, you know, at the state level, and these kids are jamming the receivers. They're not getting – it seems like everybody just wants to jump the route. Like number 27 last week, he jumped the route, and he's holding his head. What happened to the technique of jamming the receiver, taking away that timing, which gives your line a little extra time to maybe get there and at least get more pressure where it's Derek Carr. I mean, it seems we always get burned by these second-level quarterbacks. They just nickel and dime us down the field. I want to see more press coverage. You know, I want to see that the guys can't keep up with them running, you know, stride for stride and then they had to try to jump the route because what I'm seeing is the guys are playing 10 yards off. The receiver cuts out 5 yards and boom, you know, West Coast offense, typical, you know, crossing patterns, and we get burned. And then the next thing you know, we're down by 7 or, you know, we're looking up. Your thoughts on that? And I'm driving, so I got to pay attention, but I'll listen to it on the radio.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, if you're talking about playing press covers, they changed that years ago. They changed that about back when I was playing because they were trying. It was designed more so to make the offense more exciting and let them score more. Because I remember back in the day, and it's always funny when I have to go back in the day, but Troy and Bobby, those guys used to mug receivers damn near all the way down the field.
Oh, yeah, Al Harris.
And I think after that, that's when they changed it because they wanted to give the receivers, you could hit them, but then you can't, after 5 yards, you can't touch them.
And you also, I mean, you do that these days with these receivers, how quick they are, you're really risk getting burned over the top if you're playing press coverage.
Yeah, so you want a lot of teams play a lot of zone, man. You very rarely have corners that are like man-to-man corners. It's a few. But most teams play zone because of that reason, because you can't press like you used to.
Right. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing this afternoon?
What's going on,
what's up,
Will?
Man?
Oh, man, listen, Hugh, I totally agree with what you're saying. Now, we either going to get the old Derek Carr or we're going to get the new Derek Carr. Because the new Derek Carr got a new team, and it seems like he's clicking with him. Mm-hmm. But we both know the old Derek Carr, once you put some pressure on him, you know, he's guaranteed at least 2 interceptions. Most of the time, pulled under pressure, right? But my thing is this. They're preparing for whatever blitz package that we're going to bring. They prepare for us to try to stop the run. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to run it anyway. So I hope our Eagles is being prepared for that. Because they, just like what you're saying, what we need to do, keep running it till they can stop it. And that's what they're going to do Sunday. So what we need to do is hit them with the same thing they're going to hit us with. Hit them with the run. Bring in the 12 personnel. Bring in some extra blocking. Call some audibles. Do some hurry-up offense. Call some fake audibles. Do whatever it takes to throw the defense off right now, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to do different things. You got to show different formations. Because like I said, man, and I know you're looking at it too, Hugh. It's looking like the same formation, the same as last year, man. And that's the only reason why I keep saying it, because that's what I'm seeing. But I know we're a better team than that. You think what I'm saying? I know we're better than that.
No, I hear you.
So the whole thing is, like I said, I'm not putting all of it on the players. I'm putting a lot of it on the coaches, because, damn it, they should be teaching these guys at least how to tackle, at least how to get Jalen Tomlin down. And what I want to see Sunday, I want to see 2 touchdowns from Goddard. When y'all in the red zone, I want you to look for Goddard, because you can't miss that target. Well, you're going to get it to him. Well, and last but not least, my score is going to be 35-31. Eagles win, baby.
35-31. There you go, Will. I mean, you need a lot of offense in that one. 2 touchdowns for Dallas Goddard. I don't know. I don't think that's too likely. Two touchdowns, a lot.
I mean, that's a lot. But I feel him. But I feel like in order for us to be successful, that we have to score quickly. And we have to figure out how we can do that. Well, we have to score quickly. We have to put it – we can't – because I think part of the problem that we had last week was that we let the Falcons hang around too long. We should have had Kirk Cousins throwing the ball a lot earlier in the game instead of running the ball. When you have a offense that's sputtering the way that ours did last week, even though they put up 20, 21 points, you need to score quickly and you need to score often so that you can take the other team out of their game plan. That's a strategy. Like if you're out there and you score 21 points before the half, that throws their clock off as far as what they want to do. The Atlanta Falcons during that whole game, they kept it close because we weren't scoring, they weren't scoring. They knew that if they kept it close, that they would have a chance to win that game. The Saints look like they're pretty explosive, but if you can get out there and you score on your first possession, second possession, third possession, things like that, I think you would throw them off a rhythm a little bit.
Well, one thing he brought up that I think is a good idea, Hugh, is using tempo, like going faster. I mean, The Eagles, we haven't really seen that this year. And, I mean, you'd imagine that's something Jalen Hurts would be able to do well, especially when you don't have the talent advantages you would typically have on the outside with AJ. That might be a way to kind of catch the defense asleep a little bit. I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, and man, listen, I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. You have to score points if we want to win games. And this defense, all I want them to do this weekend is stop the run.
Yeah, stop
the run.
Stop the run. There you go. Stop the run. Baby steps and everything else hopefully will fall into place.